Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps, the episode where everything's going perfectly fine, actually, for the first time.
Please don't jinx it.
No, I don't want to jinx it.
Please don't jinx it.
I just knocked on wood a lot.
Good.
How's it going?
It's going fine.
Great. We're doing so good.
I've eaten a lot of candy today, and I'm feeling it. So today's either going to be my best episode or my worst.
I just ate dinner and I haven't eaten in a minute, so I am waiting for the energy to kick in. So
amazing.
Halfway through this, I might perk up a little more.
Incredible.
So we're both doing great.
I've actually never done better in my whole life ever.
Yeah, I'm actually perfect. Sorry.
It's weird. It's weird because this is the first time we've ever planned ahead, and we just recorded this episode like a day after we recorded the last episode, and so it feels like I just talked to you.
I know. Usually we have like a week between to like catch up on shit. But,
yeah.
Not much has happened in the last couple days.
No, I have literally nothing new to report to you.
Other than the weather here has gone from freezing cold to 80 degrees, and my body hurts because of it.
It's
so.
Either blazing hot or freezing cold. Anyway, the wind blows. That's a.
You know what we didn't talk about last time was the Tony Award noms came out.
Oh, they're so weird. They're so weird.
They are very weird. I didn't realize how weird Broadway was last year.
Well, it's going to be even weirder next year.
Yeah.
It's weird because, like, I feel like everything that got nominated for Best Musical got nominated for almost nothing else.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of things that, like, swept a lot of the nominations didn't get nominated for Best Musical. And everybody's an A-list film celebrity, right? Like, that's part of it. Like, everyone nominated is someone that's already been nominated for Oscars and shit.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
It's all very weird. I think The Notebook got snubbed. I think Joy Woods got snubbed for The Notebook. Her little music video that's been going around on Playbill where she sings, like, an impossibly difficult song and makes it easy. Makes it sound totally easy. I think Water for Elephants got snubbed for Best Original Score. Because the thing with, like, The Notebook and Water for Elephants is that they have, like, kind of funky little scores. So, like, they should have been nominated for that and almost nothing else, in my opinion. I don't know who the Academy is, you know? I don't know who's the one voting for all of this. I don't know what their criteria is. I have no idea.
I just want to speak to the Academy.
I do! Like, what are they... Who's doing all of that?
I don't know. I don't know who runs the Tonys. Is it like SAG where they just send all the equity people like things to vote on? I don't think that's
how it works though. No, it's because that's not how like the Academy is. The Academy is like a group of weirdos. It's the same thing. It's like a group of weirdos that decide.
Yeah. Well, I know we're not supposed to love A-list celebrity TV movie actors on Broadway, but I do like that Daniel Radcliffe got nominated.
He might win. He genuinely might win. He's very good. He plays a role that's pretty difficult. And
he's also like been on Broadway a lot and has done a lot of theater. So like I think he's earned his right to be nominated.
Well, he also just like that role is very hard. And
I know, I'm really trying to get every week I enter the lottery to try and win those tickets, and every week I'm disappointed.
It'll probably win, like, Merrily We Roll Along will probably win Best Revival, because there's not a whole lot else to do.
That was the same with plays. There's not a whole lot of plays nominated, because there just weren't a whole lot of plays.
But then you get to, like, Best Featured Actress. There are, like, some categories where there's, like, 8 actresses nominated.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so clear that, like, Joy Woods got snubbed, because they nominated actually literally everybody else.
Actually, everybody else is nominated except for you. This is like the opposite of when it was only Aaron Tveit nominated.
Like, kind of. Well, that was a kerfuffle.
That was a whole thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, was, they're weird.
The options were either, what, Aaron Tveit or nobody wins.
Yeah. And he was fine. I don't know. That role's fine. Moulin Rouge is, like, fine. It's fine.
I've heard it's actively bad, but I haven't seen it, so I can't judge it.
I'm sure it's fun. It's the category of fun. It doesn't matter to me, like, how groundbreaking the material is. It won't be. It's fun. That's what it's for.
It's one of those shows where I would see it if somebody had an extra ticket, and I would probably be, like, happy about, like, how it went, you know?
Well, I'm not a huge...
I'd be mad if I paid good money for it, so...
I'm not a huge fan of the movie. And it's because I'm not I'm not a huge fan of Baz Luhrmann, which is, if you know anything about me, crazy.
That's extremely off-brand.
It's very weird, because his whole thing is the biggest spectacle you've ever seen in your life. But, like the movie, his movies hurt my ears, if that makes sense. There's, like...
I see that.
There's, like, too much happening. And I love when everything is happening.
I will say, of the Baz Luhrmann movies, Moulin Rouge is probably his best. The other ones I've seen have not been... good. Like, he did Gatsby and then Elvis. No bueno. No.
Elvis could not stay awake. Gatsby could not stay awake. I've tried to watch both movies multiple times. Can't stay awake.
And you know what their problem is? Too long. Moulin Rouge, 90 minutes. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what we love? 90 minutes. That's about as long as you can keep my attention.
Kinda.
I will say, if I could play a role in a show, I would love to play Ewan McGregor in Moulin Rouge.
I like that for you.
Why does my heart cry?
I know, and you just cast, like, every white boy of the month. And then you could be that white boy of the month.
I would love to be white boy of the month. Guys, nominate me for white boy of the month. As I turn on, like, full girl voice.
Please nominate me for White Boy of the Month.
Do you sound like the TikTok robot?
I don't know what that is.
You know when you do the AI voice over instead of, like, you voicing over?
Oh, I try not to do those.
Yeah, where it's like, come with me to eat boba. It's always some stupid shit like that.
Oh, yeah. I know the one.
POV, you're on your way to the beach.
I wonder who that actress is. I wonder who did that voiceover.
It's an AI. It's nobody. It's like Siri. It's just an AI.
I hate that.
Yeah. But you could have a British man do it, so. Anyways, welcome to Ramsay's Recaps, the podcast where we talk about Gordon Ramsay.
Obviously.
obviously. It's our favorite subject. I was trying to explain this podcast to somebody who I don't know very well. It's Grayson's, like, D&D friends who I've only met now twice. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just editing our D&D podcast. And I was like, oh, cool, I have a podcast, too. And then I had to explain my Gordon Ramsay podcast out loud to somebody for the first time in, like, a long time. And I was like, oh.
I don't know. I've explained it to people, and it is... No one's been like, you fucking weirdo, that's weird. Everyone's like, oh, I love that guy, because who doesn't love Gordon Ramsay?
No, he was totally chill with it. It was more like I felt like I was explaining it badly, and so in the moment I was like, I don't know how to talk about this without feeling weird.
Hey, it's a podcast where we talk about kitchen nightmares.
And only kitchen nightmares until we run out of kitchen nightmares episodes, and then we'll move on to something else.
But there's like 100,000 episodes.
There's also so many... he has, like, a travel show, too, like, on Disney Plus.
Oh, my God. The man is booked and blessed. He is booked and busy.
Have you not seen the clip of when he's describing how they're making cocaine in, like, South America?
I have not seen that.
No. I'm going to send you a clip. I can't believe you haven't seen that. It was viral for a minute.
No, I have not seen that.
If I type Gordon Ramsay cocaine into,
it's gonna send you some weird fan fiction.
Oh yeah, it's literally, I found it already. It was the first video.
What is, like...
It's 3 minutes long,
What is cocaine even made of? How do you, like, make that?
He tells you. This is the video explaining how they make cocaine. Gordon Ramsay on cocaine.
Yep, that video is called Gordon Ramsay on cocaine. He looks great.
It's also from, like, 6 years ago.
Oh, so. That's why he looks great.
Yeah.
Warning, this video contains strong language. Really?
Oh, a video of Ramsay movie? Containing strong language? Are you watching it right now?
I am. I want to know how they make cocaine. I don't actually know.
Get busted because we are going,
it's like leaves.
Even deeper than I could ever imagine. This is more remote.
Into the Amazon.
Into the Amazon. Into the
Amazon.
Jesus Christ. No one can't fucking find this place.
He looks out of breath.
Not so in shape now, are we, Gordon? Into making
this destructive drug. This is not the man I would have chosen for this particular documentary.
Yeah. Like, why did they choose British celebrity TV shift for cocaine documentary?
A complicated process which involves many chemicals. First, he adds cement to the chopped up coconut.
What?
What? Cement?
Can you hear it?
Fuck yeah, concrete.
Jose finishes mixing in the cement, the next delightful ingredient is added. Sulfuric acid, dissolved in water.
I don't... How is he allowed to watch this?
My eyes are burning.
Also, like, why? Why is he there? What is the point of this? Why was this video... Listeners, a lot of pause the video. We have to do the rest of this podcast.
This made me not want to do cocaine, let me tell you.
Maybe that's why they did it.
You ever want to huff cement?
If anyone knows why Gordon Ramsay was tasked with this strange video, let us know. Because I would like to know why Gordon Ramsay had to go learn how to make cocaine in the woods of the Amazon.
Yeah, he's not my first choice for that. But I also don't know who my first choice for that is. It is insane to me that this gentleman who's making the cocaine allowed somebody to watch.
Yeah, this is like some like MTV The Real World shit that they would pull back in like the early 2000s. Do you remember they would just have like random documentaries where they like go and like all the faces and voices would be changed and like blurred, but they'd go to like some weed farm and like people would show them how they're growing their weed and shit. Oh. Like, back when weed was like taboo.
I was not allowed to watch MTV.
I watched it at my friend's house because she was allowed to watch whatever she wanted. I was also kind of allowed to watch whatever I wanted. I watched a lot of South Park as a kid.
Oh, yeah. I still, to this day, have never watched a full episode of South Park. But I have seen Book of Mormon twice, which is the same thing in my eyes.
You would absolutely hate South Park.
Yeah, they're pretty loud on that show.
It's also just, like, gross, and gross humor isn't, like, your brand of humor.
It's not really. The best I can do is, like select Seth Rogen movies.
Like, Big Mouth got too much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, immediately it was too much.
Big Mouth did get to be a little too much for me.
Big Mouth got too much for me. I hated it. I didn't like that show. It's a weird show. Anyways, Gordon this week is not deep in the Amazon, but he is in, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in Inman Park, visiting Park's Edge Restaurant, little bistro something.
They didn't fucking know what they were. I didn't know what they were. They didn't know what they were.
They do fusion, Alana. It's fusion or whatever.
They fused everything. Let me tell you. They did. They fusioned all the things.
You didn't like the green curry beurre blanc with a strawberry balsamic glaze?
It was like...
on a salmon?
It was too, like, BJ's. You know, BJ's has the avocado egg rolls, is why I keep thinking of BJ's. Yeah.
So it's Cheesecake Factory. I can't imagine. I don't know. I don't like avocado when it's hot.
It's not really meant to be hot. It gets weird.
No. It gets weird when it's hot.
You said Cheesecake Factory. I, out of principle, have not been to a Cheesecake Factory in about 8 years.
Have you told this story on the podcast?
I'm
you might have, like, back in the day. Tell it again. Why not?
Back in college, senior year of college, when we were about to graduate and we were going to be sticking around for the summer. So I was looking for a job, like a whatever job, like a minimum wage, whatever job, to pay some bills. And I was applying to whatever. And this was, you know, before the rise of Restaurant Story Girl. I had never worked in restaurant business before. And the Cheesecake Factory near us was hiring a host, you know, like a job that babies do, a job that 16-year-olds do. And I was at this point 22, about to have a bachelor's degree. And Cheesecake Factory, because it's a corporate restaurant, had an unbelievably long and obnoxious application process where you had to submit a resume and then also individually enter everything from that resume, because they're not going to look at that resume. And there was like a questionnaire and there were essay questions, and it took me fucking forever. And then I finally hit submit on it. And the minute I hit submit, it took me immediately to another page that said, you do not have the qualifications that we're looking for at this time. So I got rejected on the spot. I had spent all of that time, 1 millisecond after I hit submit, I got rejected. And that hurt my feelings so bad.
This was a decade ago. This was a literal decade ago. Less than a decade ago.
I have not been to the Cheesecake Factory since then, out of fucking principle.
This was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Cheesecake Factory isn't all that good either.
So. I'm going to go another seven. Fucking watch me.
I mean, BJ's is better. It's the same thing, but they have better food there. I will stand by that.
Well, they have, you know, good cheesecake.
They have cheesecake. I wouldn't say it's great.
Luckily, cheesecake is kind of like the one thing that can kill me from a dietary restriction standpoint. So, you know, I don't give a fuck.
A slice of cheesecake will knock me out for like 3 days, like 3 business days.
Yes. Especially now that I'm diabetic, it'll probably kill me. On impact.
And that's purely from like a lactose intolerance standpoint.
Already pre-diabetic, it would ruin me from the lactose. But now it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be my death row sentence.
Well, Park's Edge is owned by best friends Richard and Jorge.
This is the worst transition.
We got to get back on topic. Jorge and Richard met at an air freight company. Jorge used to work for Richard, and neither of them had restaurant experience, but they thought that could be fun. So that's what they wanted. Jorge like went to culinary school and was like, it's my dream to own a restaurant. And then he never worked in a restaurant. He just like went to culinary school and then opened a restaurant. This is important for later. The food at this restaurant is overly complicated. The staff are mad and they hate the food. Also, everything there is spicy for some reason.
Everything is really spicy.
The owners underestimated what it takes to run a restaurant and make several mistakes. The biggest one that I have more educated thoughts on now than I did the first time I watched this episode years ago, probably. But the biggest one is that they were pouring without a liquor license. So they didn't have a liquor license. And then they had also put up a tent in their parking lot that they didn't have a permit for. And the neighbors got mad at them. And so Richard and Jorge, who are people of color, called the white neighborhood that the restaurant is in racist. And that made a lot of people not want to come to the restaurant anymore. So,
that's so,
you know, there's some tension there.
That's so loaded. I have a lot of feeling. Like, I don't know. I have a lot of feelings and opinions on that that I don't know if I'm allowed to have as a person who's not a minority.
Yeah, it is definitely very complicated because it could very well be true that these white people see a minority-owned restaurant and they're like, I don't like them. They need to get out of this neighborhood. This isn't for them. Let's, like, ruin their reputation. But on the flip side, they were doing things illegally that maybe upset their neighbors. And they say they put up a tent in the parking lot. They don't say what it was for. It could have been a really loud event.
Yeah.
That it might not have been that the tent was the problem, but it was the noise that was the actual problem. But either way, it is, like, very loaded on both sides.
Yes.
And it's a, and they don't explain further than that, so we don't actually have a lot of information other than Richard called them racist, and now he feels bad and wants to make amends with the community so that the restaurant is successful.
Yeah, part of it is, like, also the food is bad, so...
Yeah, mostly it's the food is bad, and the service is bad, so, you know, they just like to throw in other wrenches just for fun, too.
Yeah.
But it's mostly the food is bad. So, the restaurant has also had multiple health department problems and violations, and they were actually closed twice for those.
My God.
And I learned doing a little bit of research on this episode, too, that even after Gordon came, the health department came back and gave them, like, a D.
Oh, shit. Like, oh, shit.
So, yeah. Jorge has failed to organize any of his kitchen staff or any of his kitchen structure at all. There's no structure in the kitchen. And the kitchen, when it's under pressure, Richard doesn't help. He just kind of walks around and schmoozes and drinks wine and smokes a cigarette and then leaves.
He, like, fully dissociates. I felt kind of bad for him.
But it's, like, the servers will say later, too, it's, like, when customers want to speak to a manager, Richard just says, figure it out. Like, they don't have a manager.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yes, as someone that's worked at a place like that, it is.
So, they lost most of their business after they alienated themselves from the neighborhood using the local news as a tool for war. And now they need Gordon's help. So Gordon arrives. He arrives to Atlanta to fix this restaurant. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I also don't know what you're doing. He arrives at this restaurant.
He arrives at this restaurant to save the day.
You're being the SpongeBob narrator. That's what you were doing.
Goo Lagoon. 2 hours later.
Yeah, that's just what you were doing?
Yeah. It's fine. Gordon arrives and he does some research. Gordon's done some research, which means a PA handed him a piece of paper and said, say this. so he's done... He's done his research. This man did not Google this restaurant.
No, I know.
They told him what to say. So he knows the situation with Richard and Jorge and the community. And so he goes inside and meets Richard in the entrance. And then they meet Jorge. They sit down. He asks about their issues. They say the biggest one is that they have, caused a rift in the community. And they just really want to get on the good side of the neighborhood again. And then they are adamant that despite all of this, their food is delicious. And so Gordon's like, great, cool, let's eat some lunch. He looks at the menu, and the dishes on this menu range from Mexican to Asian to Indian to American, but all together in one pot, and then separated and then put on a plate. Ta-da.
Yeah, it is actually worse than BJ's.
Yeah, so his server, God bless her, Amy, she comes over and she's like, what? And Gordon's like, is this a grill? He's pointing at the menu and he's like flabbergasted that there is a grilled Caesar salad on the menu. And in my mind, when I see grilled Caesar salad, I'm like, oh, it's like grilled chicken. No, they put, like, the whole head of lettuce on the grill for a second to give it a little char, which, like, I think I have seen that before. It's, like, a novelty thing. Like, lettuce doesn't have a flavor. It's not going
to
do anything.
I have a controversial opinion on this, and the trouble is I wouldn't be able to tell you where I consumed it, but I know I have had grilled Caesar salad before in, like, a hotel restaurant. You know how there's, like, a semi-nice restaurant in, like, a Hilton, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I've had it, and it was good. And I actually thought it was cool and interesting. It was just, you know, it makes it a little crunchier. I don't know. It does, yeah, it does give it a little char. And Gordon was talking about it, like, the man who invented a grilled Caesar salad had five heads, and was, like, speaking in tongues. He was like, this is what is that? I watched the episode on YouTube and it was called The Infamous Grilled Lettuce. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think this is as bad as Gordon is making it seem. Like, there are other things in this restaurant to make the thesis, like, focal point. And I was like, I feel like I've eaten this and it wasn't bad. And I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's not, like, that outlandish. They really do hype it up like it's the weirdest thing in the world.
He pulls the room at one point. Everyone's like, yeah, that's the weirdest shit we've ever heard of. And I was like, I don't know if it is.
What's weirder is when random Barback comes over to, like, steal his silverware. Which is literally the worst excuse ever to just come over and say hi to Gordon Ramsay. Like, you could have just walked by and been like, hey, I'm so-and-so. Like,
I'm a fan of your work. I wanted to say hi.
Yeah, this is Kevin the bartender. He will forever be known as Kevin the bartender, so there you go.
Yeah. And he as a fucking weirdo.
He looks like Gary Busey, kind of.
What does Gary Busey look like?
He look, but like, not fully. He looks like a mix of Gary Busey and somebody else, but I can't put my finger on it.
I have to Google Gary Busey. I don't even really know what he looks like.
Kevin comments about how bad the food is before Richard calls him away to go back to the bar where he belongs. Amy and Gordon are like, this is fucking weird, but whatever, let's just move on. He also orders some flash fried oysters. Rockefeller? Something like that?
Yeah, they didn't look good. They didn't look good. We'll get there. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
No, you're good. And then he also gets a grilled salmon, which also... it looks so weird. So first he gets the salad, and then he's so shocked by it, he, like, fully does a tink, tink, tink on his glass, and, like, hear ye's the fucking room. Like,
I was like, Gordon, I can't believe what I'm looking at right now. He was being so... Gordon was so fucking dramatic in this episode.
He really was. But it's just, like, a little, like, wedge of lettuce, like you would use for a wedge salad, with, like, the Caesar salad stuff on top, and it's clearly has, like, the grill marks on it.
I just, like, I feel like that's how I ate it. I don't, like, I didn't eat here. I've never been to Georgia. But, like, that was how I ate it. It looks like that. It looks like a deconstructed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he finds it hideous. He says the chicken is dry, and that the lettuce hasn't even been trimmed. Like, the bud of the lettuce is still on it.
Yeah, which, and it was...
yeah, don't do that.
And it was, like, dirty. Like, that's the thing that should have been shocking. Yeah. Was that it was, like, fucking gross.
Yeah, because when you don't cut off the, like, the root of the lettuce, and you just, like, let it sit, you can't get all the dirt that's under there when you're cleaning your lettuce.
Yeah.
Not that I think they're probably cleaning anything, anyways. So, Gordon says that it's also really spicy. Like, for some reason, it's spicy. And Amy is like, everything here is spicy. I don't know why. Everything's spicy. So then he gets the oysters. And it's like a bed of wild green, like, arugula spring mix lettuce. You know, like, the tub of lettuce that your mom gets?
Yes.
And it's just in the fridge forever?
Yes.
It's that with, like, little tiny bits of fried turds on top.
Yeah, this was the dish that was offensive to me. I took a look at that and I was like, that's fucking disgusting.
They look a little like little cat turds on top of a bed of lettuce.
Horrendous. They looked awful. And I was like, this is the thing we should have been ting-ting-tinging about. Like, it is awful.
Yeah, because Gordon makes Richard try one, and Richard's like, yeah, it's really bready and also extremely spicy. And then Richard has to, like, go walk away to cough and, like, get some water because he's choking on these fucking spicy little turds.
Yeah.
And then the last dish is the salmon. And this salmon, it's, like, a jasmine rice, and then there's a green curry beurre blanc, and then a strawberry balsamic, like, glaze, and the whole salmon is, like, crusted in fucking birdseed or some shit.
It would have been a delicious, like, three separate dishes.
Oh, yeah. Those are ingredients that don't go together, but this man has just said, oh, fancy words. They sound fancy. Let's put them all together.
Strawberry butter fancy is a choice.
I Also, like, what was the salmon coated in? Like, it didn't say it was a crusted salmon. It just said it was a grilled salmon. How did they grill it when it was covered in shit?
Like, it must have been breadcrumbs or something. I have to hope. I hope it was breadcrumbs or something.
I don't know. So Gordon goes into the kitchen to give feedback. Jorge tells him that he went to culinary school. And Gordon goes, okay, you went to culinary school. Where did you train? And Jorge's like, I went to culinary school. And Gordon's like, no, where did you train after culinary school? And Jorge's like, oh, I didn't train. And Gordon's like astounded by this. He can't even believe his ears.
It's because he calls himself the executive chef.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I own the restaurant. It's my restaurant. I can do what I want. And Gordon's like, you didn't go and train in other restaurants. You don't know how restaurants work because you've never worked in one.
Yeah.
You went at culinary school, you learned to cook. When you go train in a restaurant, that's where you learn to run a restaurant, my guy.
Yeah.
So Gordon says he isn't qualified to run a restaurant, let alone own one, and they don't even realize how deep their problems are. He then sits down with Richard to find out more about the fucking neighborhood problem. Richard recounts everything we've already talked about before, and Gordon's like, wow, this is a real issue. This is real trouble. And so then Gordon is like, okay, cool. I'll be back for dinner service. Sick. Gordon comes back for dinner service. Everyone is running around like a fucking chicken with their head cut off. And then they're getting ready for dinner service. And Gordon's like arriving as Richard's leaving the restaurant with a cigarette in his hand. And Gordon like berates him for some reason for going out to smoke a cigarette like before dinner service.
Gordon was on something. Like, Gordon was nuts.
Maybe he was on the cocaine that helped me.
I was just going to say, maybe he had a special interest.
But, like, every fucking person who works in a restaurant, I feel like, smokes cigarettes.
It's classically, like, the only way you can get a break is by going out to smoke. Otherwise, breaks, like, don't exist.
Yeah, so I don't know why, like, who is this man who just followed me on Instagram? I don't know who you are. Leave me alone. So I don't know why he's, like, freaking out about, like, Richard going out to smoke a cigarette, other than, like, I guess the restaurant is just about to open. But, like, whatever. Who cares? So, like, the restaurant opens. Gordon meets the rest of the cooking staff. He meets, I don't know either of their names, and we don't really talk to them very long. But between them, they have more than 10 years of cooking experience. And both of them find Jorge's style of kitchen work ridiculous. Gordon watches the kitchen team working, but it's like immediately clear that Jorge doesn't know how to expedite or do anything, because like none of the dishes come out like correct, and they all go to the wrong tables, and it's so disorganized, and all of the servers are mad, and then all the customers are mad. I think this was actually, this wasn't during the dinner service, but this was during the beginning. There was a shot where one of the servers goes back to the kitchen and is like, hey, do you have table whatever? It's got that little girl who looks like she's about to die. And it comes to this like little girl who's just like fully like head in her hands, like looking like she's about to pass out. She's so hungry.
You gotta serve bread. You gotta have that bread service.
And then when the customers get their food, they don't like it because it's spicy or too dry. Because it's spicy
and weird, yeah.
And then the servers are frustrated because, like, the kitchen's fucking up. And then the servers have to handle the complaints about the food.
Because there's no manager. Because
Richard hides. He actively runs away. When things are going bad, he runs away, which is the opposite of what a manager is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, So Gordon, like, confronts Richard on, like, his role or what he fucking wants to do in the restaurant. Customers just straight up leave without waiting for food because they're like, we have to go to other places. We can't just sit here all night. Then Gordon goes to inspect the walk-in where he finds boxes of moldy lemons and raw chicken with cooked chicken and also just, like, slimy, stinky chicken. He loves to get his hands deep into the slimy chicken.
Yeah, this is where I was like, Gordon is on something and the editing is weird, because we were fixated on those lemons, Like, there was a moldy lemon, and that's not good. But the state of this chicken and this, like, what looked like a rack of ribs that was, like, so, like, white and slimy. Yeah. That was what was offensive to me. And I was like, that's the issue. Like, fruit goes bad. And yes, we should be checking that. But if your meat is going bad, that's bad.
Yeah.
But we got that fantastic moment where Jorge was like, oh, well, I wasn't going to serve that.
Yeah, because Gordon's, like, holding a tray of, like, burnt, like, potatoes or some shit. I don't even know. And he's like, what the fuck is this doing back here? And they were like, and he was like, oh, it's bad. We made it this morning. It's bad. We're not going to serve it. And he's like, why do you have it, though? Like, why didn't you just throw it away? And Jorge's like, well, we're not going to serve it. And it's like, okay, you're not going to serve it. Well, why do you have it?
Well, so, I have recently transitioned from watching the episodes on Hulu to watching them on YouTube. And on Hulu, they bleep it. They bleep all the swear words, and on YouTube, they do not.
No.
So, I am not used to hearing, like, everybody was swearing a lot this episode. This is when he straight up said, like, you bullshitting little fucker. And I was like, oh my god, Gordon. This was on network television.
Yeah. But that's, like, his thing. Everyone loves him for it.
But, like, he says, like, funny things. Like, he calls people donuts and shit. I've never heard him say, you bullshitting little fucker. Like, to his face, like, at a camera.
There was also a moment where Gordon, like, threw the box of moldy lemons in the ground, and Jorge was like, oh, don't throw my lemons, man. Like,
your rotten lemons.
And Gordon was like, they're moldy.
He was being a bullshitting little fucker, though. He was, like, lying to Gordon's face, and that is extremely frustrating. I get that.
Yeah, because he was like, we're not using any of this stuff. We're not using it. And Gordon's like, then why is it here? You're not cleaning it. And Jorge's like, well, my staff is supposed to do that. And Gordon's like, well, you're supposed to check. Like,
yeah, this is like the crux of the issue where Gordon is like, you need to stop making like excuses and blaming it on other people. That's what it's like to be in charge, is everything does fall on you at the end of the day.
Yeah, so Jorge gets mad and, like, runs away like a little bitch. And then Gordon's like, whatever, I'll come back tomorrow. Next day, he does classic Gordon move. He puts Jorge and Richard in the kitchen with the TV. And then he goes out and has a staff meeting where everyone else is so that they can talk freely about Richard and Jorge. But actually, they're watching the whole time. Dun, dun, dun.
I would hate that.
Yeah, the staff unload. They say that the issues with Richard are that he's very hands-off, that he drinks on the job. They talk about Jorge in the kitchen. This one lady, I think she, like, is their kitchen manager or something. But she was like, yeah, last week Jorge was having a conversation in Spanish about how fat I've gotten.
That was crazy. Because they did say, like, yeah, he berates us.
Yeah, he's, like, mean to them.
But then to be like, yeah, she's gotten so fat. Like, That's unacceptable. That's sexual harassment.
But also at the same time, she's like, I've been working in restaurants for 20 years. I can run this restaurant better than they can.
Yeah.
Like,
because they're just like little boys.
Yeah. And all of the staff are like, yeah, I know how to run a restaurant. These people don't. Like, why are they in charge? And Gordon then brings up the owners to like iron out their issues. Richard cries and is like very touched by everyone. And, like, Richard, I have nothing against Richard. I think he's, like, an okay guy at best. I don't think he's malicious, maybe. I could be completely wrong. I don't know. But, like, I feel like he does genuinely like people and likes to be a people person and wants his staff to be happy. Jorge, on the other hand, is just a dick.
Yeah. Richard, I thought, like, by the end, I was like, oh, he's kind of sweet. He's obviously a fucking idiot, but he's, like, kind of sweet. Jorge, I never thought.
He, like, means well.
Never thought that once about him.
No, he, like, Jorge, like, apologizes and promises to change, but, like,
because they okay, all, sure. They all do that. They all say that.
They all do. All men are the same. So, Gordon, in an effort to rebuild their bridge with the local community, takes him back onto to local news station.
Right back on TV, baby.
And has them apologize. And then Gordon's team revamps the restaurants to make it more contemporary. Who cares? It looked the same.
I actually kind of liked it.
It went from like It went from, like, lime green to, like, normal, you know?
Yeah, their sign before was pretty bad. Their new sign was fine, but their sign before was actually quite bad.
Yeah, so they're going from, like, this fusion confusion, as they love to say in these episodes, to a simplified, like, American menu with a contemporary twist.
Which, I don't know what a contemporary twist means, but whatever.
Yeah, sure. They all eat the food, they all love it, they all agree that the previous menu was too complicated and that this is the way forward. So then Gordon brings in his team. And for those who don't watch every Gordon Ramsay show, Gordon's team tends to stay the same between shows. So, like, the woman he brought in to help teach them cook, she's one of the sous chefs on the early seasons of Hell's Kitchen. She's incredible. She's in the kitchen with Jorge and the other chefs teaching them how to cook and, like, telling them what stations they're going to be at tonight. She puts Mohawk Man at the fry station to cook the chicken wings. This man refuses to cook a chicken wing and then says if we're going to serve chicken wings, she should put on some orange shorts and go out there and serve them. To which this renowned chef who works with Gordon Ramsay looks like she wants to punch the man.
This was...
But she doesn't.
This, I was like, something's been cut. Something about this editing is weird, because I gotta know the backstory of all this, because this was so out of fucking left field. This guy was so weird. He had, like, a huge problem with specifically the chicken wings.
He didn't think they were fine dining enough, and Gordon was like, in what world is this a fine dining restaurant? I made you a bistro, not a Michelin star restaurant. Calm down.
Like, and he was so, like, little kid about it, where he was just like, nah, I'm not gonna do it. It was, like, really bizarre to see a grown-ass man behaving like that. It was very weird.
Yeah, so then, like, they pull him outside, and this is before dinner service even starts. They pull him outside, and they're like, are you gonna pull it together? Like, are we gonna have an issue? And he's like, no, fine, I'll fucking do it. Like, I'll, whatever. Gordon, he's right. He's right. The man's right. So then dinner service starts, and it's everything's, like, coming out fast and high standards, and then immediately Mohawk Man is like, well, I don't want to cook a chicken wing. I don't want to do it, actually.
Yeah, it all of a sudden, like, everything was going fine. This was one of the... So often, I'll admit, when I watch these episodes, I'm often doing something else at the time, so I do miss stuff. But I was locked in here, and I couldn't pinpoint, like, what the fuck happened. Like, all of a sudden, yeah. He was just like, eh, actually, I'm not going to touch anything. But then he wouldn't leave. Like, he wouldn't... He just stood back. Like, he wasn't cooking that, but he didn't want to go. And I was like, I don't... What are you doing? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, because then he, like, purposely overcooks something. And then they're like, okay, cook it again. And then he overcooks it again. And then they're like, okay, get the fuck out.
Yeah, they're like, why are you actively trying to sabotage this? Like, I didn't get what was up this guy's butt. I had no idea.
I don't know, dude. So... Either way, he gets fired, and they put somebody else on the station, and then relaunch night is fine, and everyone loves the food, and it's a big success. Gordon tells Richard and Jorge to support each other and to be kind to their staff and whatever for everything to succeed. And that's the end of the episode. The end. Any final thoughts?
I have to know what got left on the cutting room floor for all of that. There has to have been something else that happened that they cut for that guy to go from, I'm not cooking a chicken wing, to, fine, I'll cook a chicken wing, to, actually, never mind, but don't kick me out. Why would I leave? Why would I leave? I'm just not going to cook, but I'm not going to go. I'm just going to stand back here and not cook and ruin every, like, I have so many questions. Was he just a fucking sociopath? Yeah. Like, why did he want to sabotage it so bad?
We skipped a few steps here, you know?
We did. I would pay money to see what got cut.
Yeah.
Clearly something did. I mean, it'd be kind of funny if he just, you know, on a dime decided to be like a little chaos goblin and just go nuts and go rogue. But I doubt that's what happened, but I can't think of what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew somebody who had worked on this show. If you worked on this show or worked in any capacity, or if you have, if you've got bonus footage, if anyone out there got bonus footage, send it to me. Ramsey'sRecaps@gmail.com.
Oh my god. Anyway, yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine this place is still open.
Oh no 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 no.
Cannot imagine they made it through.
In the weeks that followed, they continued their community outreach. Business was on the rise. Richard was more active on the floor. Jorge embraced the changes. After the show, they kept most of Gordon's changes, but did return some customer favorites to the menu.
Like what?
After filming.
What were the favorites?
Like, yeah, name them. Name the favorites. So after filming, Yelp reviews are mixed, but negative comments are mostly service-based and hit-and-miss menu items. The TripAdvisor reviews are mixed, and negative comments also seem to complain of poor service.
That's weird, because those, if they mean, those ladies seemed like they were so good.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if they, when they say poor service, they mean poor, like, food.
Or, like, it quality. Was slow.
It was slow, and so they blame the servers instead of, like,
that does happen, kitchen. And it is a pity.
Yeah. I always, like, I'm on the side of the server until I'm told otherwise, yeah. You know? Like,
same.
In October 2011, they failed a health inspection after also having failed previously in February of 2011.
My God.
They closed in early 2014 after their lease ran out in November 2013 and were reportedly looking for a new location to reopen, but they never reopened. Their website was active until 2020.
What?
That's crazy. This aired February 3rd, 2012, and it was filmed in September of 2011. So they failed a health inspection a month after they filmed the fucking episode with Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon.
That's crazy.
Come on. Come on, Gordon. Come on, man.
I don't know if I blame Gordon. I'm sure they cleaned that place, and I'm sure Jorge just let it rot again.
Yeah, I mean, if it closed a month after, it means that he didn't actually do anything. It means that little post bit. Where they said, like, oh, they're turning this place around. It means that that was a lie. It means that little epilogue that was in the episode was actively not true.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Okay.
That's Park's Edge.
That hurts my feelings that they lied to me like that.
Yeah, I can't believe they would do that.
Yeah, fucking Gordon. What the hell?
I can't believe reality TV lied to me.
Yeah. Like, actually, they straight up said the opposite of what was happening.
They should never do that. They should. Reality TV is supposed to be real. It's supposed to tell the truth.
Kinda.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Do you have any thoughts? Final thoughts besides that they lied to you and that you demand the truth?
I'm sure it takes longer than a month to edit an episode. They didn't have to include that. They could have said that it closed down. If they waited, like, a single second.
Well, it closed in 2014.
I thought it was 2011 where they failed all the health inspections.
They failed the health... Yeah, but they weren't... They didn't get closed down. Oh. They just failed the health inspections.
Okay. Then never mind.
I think when you fail a health inspection, you're given, like, a certain amount of time to fix it, and then they come back, and if you haven't fixed it, then they shut you down.
Okay. So I guess they did fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, then I take back my rage.
I mean, I still want to know what's missing from this episode, you know?
Yeah, what was his name? Fucking Mike or Dave or something? I don't know. It was so weird.
Matt
was his name. That was definitely his name.
Yeah, we had Mohawk Matt and then Kevin the bartender.
Yes.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. I cannot picture Kevin's face at all.
Me neither.
He made zero impression on me.
You'll love to know that next week's is another Greek restaurant.
Amazing.
We're back, baby.
We're back, baby. Back on our home turf.
You'll love this one particularly. It's really funny. It's a funny episode. It's a beautiful restaurant. It's also in California, so if it's still open, you have to go.
Amazing.
I think it's in Fremont.
That's not close to me.
Yeah, well, on your road trip, make a pit stop. Just keep going. Where is Fremont?
I'm looking right now.
Is it near The Bay?
I think so. I think it's closer to the Bay than, like, L.A.
I feel like it's close to Sacramento. I don't know the geography
of California. It's just north of San Jose. It's right by Palo Alto.
Okay, so it is Bay Area.
Yeah,
okay.
It's extraordinarily far from me, actually.
Actually, we'll just go get our other friends in the Bay Area to go there for us and report back.
Yeah, it's only an 8-hour drive.
They maybe might actually know it. We should ask them.
I don't think it's that close to them.
I don't know. They all grew up there. You never know. Can't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of Ramsey's Recaps.
Hey.
If you're listening to this the day it comes out, I'm on vacation. Leave me alone.
Oh my god.
No, I'm actively at my sister's bachelorette party and I'm terrified. Help me.
Why are you terrified?
Saved.
Why are you terrified?
I'm not terrified. I'm just, it's not that I'm terrified. I'm gonna be the one having to herd kittens.
Oh, so. Yeah, that is true. That is your right. That is your duty as the maid of honor.
As maid of honor, I will be in charge of making sure nobody dies.
Yes.
So I will just be stressed all weekend, probably.
That's correct.
So, but it's fine. It's fine. It's not about me. It's about my sister.
True.
Or whatever.
That's a good attitude.
I guess as the middle child, she's allowed to have something.
Yes.
You as the middle child know that feeling.
Yes. I intimately, yes.
I as the oldest. Is it also true in your family that, like, the oldest sibling has, like, 2 baby books full of pictures and then everyone else is like, meh?
It's actually me that doesn't have them. Yeah, the oldest sibling has them a lot, and then the youngest sibling is about five years after. So there is a more definitive, like, you're the baby, and then I came right after my brother. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, me and my brother both have, like, 2 picture books each, and Brittany has, like, maybe 1. So.
Yes, I'm barely featured.
And you know what? That's not my fault. That's my parents' fault.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because she's getting married first.
So she wins. You know.
So she wins. She wins life. Well, bye everyone. See you next week or whatever. Actually, maybe not. We'll see if we record another episode, so I make no promises.
I bet we could.
Because I'll still be gone.
I bet we could do it.
I bet we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Anyways, bye.
Bye. Okay, goodbye forever.